Continuing our series of lessons on the Gospel of Mark, God's servant in action. Today's lesson is taken from Mark chapter 4, so turn to your Bibles there, Mark 4, 1 through 9. Today's lesson is sharing and accepting God's Word, sharing and accepting God's Word. Now, when I began this series on Mark the end of May, I said that we would be studying the first half of the Gospel, you know, this summer. And the second half, starting in January of next year, we're going to be looking at Jesus as the servant that God sent to this earth. And then the last part, as we move from the first part of the year through Easter, we're going to be looking at Jesus Christ as the Savior. Well, the summer is two-thirds gone, and I'm still in chapter 3. So Mark is packed full of such good stuff, and there's so much to learn. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to have to kick this into gear, okay? Before we can get to chapter 8 by the end of September, or by the 1st of September. So we really got to kick this in gear. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 4. And I want you to follow with me as we read verses 1 through 9, if you will, please. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. This is the Sea of Galilee. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it, out in the lake, while the people were along the shore at the water's edge. And he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering his seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still others seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears, let him hear.'" In Mark chapter 3, we see the crowds that are following Jesus are growing by leaps and bounds. By this time, Jesus has his 12 apostles in place to help him in his ministry. Mark 3, verse 13 and following tells us. And among the crowds are the curious, the skeptics, and the true followers. Jesus is well aware that most of the people following him are not there because he's the Son of God. They're not there because he's the Messiah. They are there only because they want to be healed or they want to see a miracle. And yet Jesus takes this opportunity to teach them the good news. But not everybody's there is, you know, who hears the Word of God is going to accept it. Some are going to walk away as soon as Jesus begins teaching. Others are going to stay long enough to be healed, and then Jesus will never see them again. And some will be excited about what Jesus has to say and follow Him for a while until the difficulties come, and then they're going to leave Him. But then there are those who will be deeply and permanently transformed by the words of Jesus Christ and will follow Him to the very end of their lives. And in this parable, Jesus stresses the importance of sharing and accepting the Word of God. As Christians, friends, we have a responsibility and privilege of spreading the good news of God wherever we go. Do you agree with that? Amen? This is our privilege. This is our responsibility. And our concern is not who hears the Word, but only that they get a chance to hear it. I mean, that's the beauty of the Word of God, the good news of Christ. Everyone, the footpath, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, all gets the same shot at the seed of God, just as the good soil does. I mean, God wants His Word scattered all over the earth because it has power to take root even in the harshest ground. And once it takes root, it can bear fruit. I mean, it may take a while for God's Word to germinate in a person's heart, but yet the Bible tells us that God's Word does not return to Him empty in Isaiah 55, verse 10. All that God asks of us, of you and me, is to be seed spreaders. That's what He wants us to be. He wants us to be seed spreaders. And God said, I'll do the rest. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I planted Apollos water, but God made it grow. Amen? So God will do the rest. But again, as Jesus points out, that not everyone that we share the gospel with is going to accept it. They're not. I mean, the problem is not with the seed. It's not with the word, but the soil. The hearts of those who hear the word. And the key to a fruitful, abundant life lies with our response to the Word of God. And as Jesus explains the parable to the apostles, we see four kinds of people represented by the four soils. And all four soils receive the same seed. They receive the same message from God. And even so, there are various responses to the Word of God and only one type of soil or heart that bears fruit. So let's read on. Let's begin here, verse 14. Jesus then begins to explain. He explains the parable to His apostles. And He says, okay. He says, some people are like, He said, the farmer, verse 14, the farmer sows the seed, because some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And others, like seed sown on the good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. So I want to take a look at the condition of the human heart, okay? The four conditions of the human heart. First of all is this, it is the hardened heart. What kind of heart? The hardened heart, okay? Verses 4 and verse 15. Jesus said, the seed that fell on the hard path is quickly eaten by the birds. There are those out there, people you may know, who have been beaten down by suffering, by other people who abused them, by a sinful lifestyle that has left them hardened and unyielding. And you tell them about the forgiveness of God, they don't even understand that, or maybe they don't even care. I mean, these are the people who don't want to listen. Their hearts have become hardened to the Word of God that gives life. I mean, have you ever known anyone like that? I mean, you plead and plead with them to turn their lives over to Christ, and they just simply refuse to listen. They just don't want any part of the gospel of Christ. I mean, you may never see them in church. I mean, you invite them. You know, you want them to come. You may never see them in church, or they may even attend regularly, but never respond to the invitation. I mean, they hear the word, but they fail to take hold of it as being God's truth for them. And they leave themselves open for Satan to come and snatch the word of God right from them. Now, Luke's account in Luke chapter 8, verse 12 says this. He said, those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes the word from their hearts so that they may not believe or be saved, or and be saved. They may not believe and be saved. Friends, Satan does not want you to be saved. That's not what he wants. He will deceive you and lie to you, planting the seeds of doubt in your heart. He does not want you to believe that there is a God, or if you do believe, He wants you to doubt His love for you. That God doesn't love me. But that's not what God wants. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, that God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. God says, I want you to be with me in heaven. That's my will for you. I've given you my Son. I've given you my word. I want you to be with me. And that is the central truth of this parable. I mean, everyone gets a chance to hear the word of God. Accept it and be saved. Everybody, he said. And that's why God sent his Son Jesus Christ to this earth to give his life for us. But one thing also we need to understand about that hardened heart is that the Bible tells us that a hard heart can be softened. It can be softened. I mean, take the Apostle Paul, for example. I mean, he hated Jesus. I mean, he looked at him as a blasphemer. He hated the church. He hated those Christians. He would persecute them and torture them to make them blaspheme the name of Jesus. And yet God softened his heart that he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And over the years, I have heard from many former atheists and agnostics and just all around bad people who came to believe and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Do you know people like that? I mean, you thought they would never give their life to Christ. Never. But they did. Their heart became softened and they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Years ago, before I got in the ministry, I used to be that Kirby vacuum cleaner seller. I mean, I was that salesman who knocked on your door when you saw him coming, you know, you pretended that you weren't there. You know, I was that guy. I would knock on that door, you know, and I would sell those Kirby vacuum cleaners. And I worked with a man who was a staff sergeant in the Air Force, who was also a part-time Kirby salesman. Can't we call his name? But he was a fairly new Christian, and now he was surrounded by Christians who all worked for the Altus Kirby Company in Altus, Oklahoma, an Air Force town. And so he worked with us, and you know, and he was glad to be around Christians, but it hadn't always been that way. Because before giving his life to Christ, he admitted that he had a deep, deep disdain for Christians and for Christianity in general. He wouldn't go into any detail, but there was a hurtful situation that his mom experienced from a preacher when he was just a boy. And his heart had become hardened because of that situation. He talked about how a group of airmen would gather in the Air Force Chow Hall for Bible study. And this unbelieving, Christian-hating sergeant would stand over them drinking a can of beer and then take his beer and pour it on the pages of their Bible. Every time these airmen gathered for Bible study, I mean, he would mock and belittle them. But then the Air Force chaplain, a captain, started attending those Bible studies, so the sergeant had to tone it down quite a bit. But one day, making yet another snide remark about Christians and about Christ, this chaplain took him aside and very candidly said, "Sergeant, I don't know who hurt you, but it was not Jesus." And this sergeant said that those simple words, for whatever reason, hit him so hard. So he started taking his food tray and then every day began to sit closer and closer to where these airmen were studying the Bible so that he could really listen to what they had to say. And over the next few months, his hard heart began to gradually soften until finally he gave his life to Jesus. Amen? Gave his life to Christ. Satan lost one that day. Okay? He lost that one. So God can change a hard heart. You may know those out there that you have pleaded with to obey the gospel. They won't listen. Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to pray for them. Continue to encourage them. And who knows, one day, they may just certainly give their life to Jesus. But then secondly, there is the shallow heart. Okay, what kind of heart? The shallow heart, okay? Verses 5 and 6 and 16 and 17. Jesus says here, He says, "The rocky soil represents those who joyfully receive the word but quickly fall away because there is no root." Now, this soil is shallow with rocks right below the surface. The plant can grow only so far and then it finally dies. And this person that the rocky soil represents, you know, looks and acts like everybody else in the church. They look just like us. They've obeyed the gospel, you know, having confessed their faith in Jesus, being baptized into Him. They're fairly regular in their worship attendance. However, you know, they usually do not attend any type of Bible class or, you know, small group. I mean, they believe that the dose of spirituality they get on Sunday morning is enough for them. Okay, that's all you need. And the rocky soil refers to those Christians who have a superficial adherence to the Word of God. I mean, they hear the Word, they joyfully accept it, but they apply only what makes them feel good. I mean, they love quoting the Bible gems. You know, the Bible gems, you know the little scriptures, the little scripture sound bites that you see planted all over Facebook. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they like quoting those passages. And these are wonderful sayings, encouraging scriptures. But you know, the context often speaks of one remaining faithful to God in the face of tragedy and hardship. But when you dig deeper into the hearts of the rocky soil, you realize that there's really no spiritual root there at all that will sustain them and help them grow during the hard times that life throws at them. In fact, Jesus tells us in verse 17, He says, when trouble or persecution comes, because of the Word, these shallow Christians quickly fall away. They last only a short time, Jesus said. And again, you know some Christians like that, don't you? You know them. They're no longer here because they were not rooted into God's Word. And friends, I want you to understand that when tough times come, joy alone is not going to sustain you. Did you get that? Joy alone is not going to sustain you. God's Word must bring more than good feelings. I mean, the emotional high doesn't last forever. I mean, have you been to those kind of church services, you know, that maybe you went to conventions? I mean, there's that high that you experience, but the emotional highs do not last forever. And sadly, when the emotional high goes, so does the good feeling and the faith that could have been. And if our relationship with God is shallow, we need to remove whatever rocks in our lives that is keeping us from being deeply rooted into God's Word. And the way that we begin, we need to begin every day by getting into this. By reading and studying God's Word. We have to get into the Word. In fact, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, he says that we as Christians, we need to be like those newborn babies. Those newborn babies who crave their pure spiritual milk of the Word so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Peter said we need to crave the Word of God so that we can grow. So that we won't be shallow all of our lives, but that we can grow. So in addition to personally studying God's Word, what you need to do, friends, you've got to join a Bible study group if you're not in one. Join a Bible study group, you know, where you can find the support you need to help you grow and remain faithful. And this church offers a lot of opportunities for you to grow into God's Word. We have Sunday school classes. I mean, one thing, this church may be small, but one thing this church believes in, we believe in God's Word. Amen? We believe in God's Word. We study God's Word. And so we have Sunday school that is for all ages. We have Wednesday night Bible class, women's Bible study, small groups, youth groups. I mean, there are many opportunities in which you can be involved in order to study more deeply God's Word. Okay? So that's something we need to do. We need to grow in our faith. But then the third heart that Jesus talks about here is the distracted heart. What kind of heart? The distracted heart, verses 7 and 18 and 19. Jesus said here that the thorny soil represents those who allow the worries and things of the world to choke out the Word of God. This is exactly what Mike Gritt was talking about earlier. And really, this sounds a lot like the church in America today, doesn't it? We allow so much stuff to distract us from the things that are really important. And worry, I mean, worry, that is the catchword of the 21st century. This fall, we are going to be doing a Bible study, small group study this fall, from Max Lucado's book, Anxious for Nothing, Being Anxious for Nothing, from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. It's going to be a 5-week study, a video-based study starting in September 15th. And we want to encourage you to be part of that because I believe that is something that we really need to talk about, the worries and anxieties that we face in life and how they can destroy us. And we worry about everything, don't we? We worry about politics. We worry about Iran and Russia and North Korea and China. We worry about finances. We worry about our kids. We worry about our health. We worry about our jobs. In fact, the Greek word for worry is a combination of two words, divided and mind. That's a combination of two words. And the word literally means a divided mind. That's what worry means. I mean, we accept the Word of God, but we allow all the things we worry about to distract us and to choke out the trust and the faith that we are to have in Jesus Christ. And friends, I know what I'm talking about, okay? I mean, I've been there. I still struggle with it. I still struggle with it. Man, my mother, she was a worrywart. You know, we use that phrase. She worried about everything. Everything. And kind of passed that down to her kids. You know, and we worried about everything. And yet Jesus tells us that we are not to worry. And Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But we also allow our pursuit of other things. Not only our worries in the life, but we allow the pursuit of other things, whether money, pleasure, relationships, or whatever, to gradually push Christ and His Word out of our lives. Something becomes more important to us than God's Word. Something becomes more important to us than Jesus Himself. And when this happens, well, we quit growing. Spiritual things just aren't that important anymore. Our worship attendance becomes more and more sporadic. We no longer pray at the dinner table or before we go to bed. We no longer pray during the day. We don't talk about God anymore. In fact, you know, about the only time we ever mention Him is when we say, God bless you, when somebody sneezes. You know, that's about it. But these and more are signs that we are allowing the thorns of this world to choke God and His Word out of our lives. And when this happens, brothers and sisters, we need to start doing some pulling. Okay? We need to put on your garden gloves and grab those thorns by the roots and remove them from your life so that God's Word is free to blossom and grow and bear fruit. Amen? We have to do that. But then finally there is the receptive heart. What heart? What kind of heart? The receptive heart, verses 8 and 20. Jesus said, the seed that fell on the good soil are those who hear God's Word, accept it, and produce fruit in their lives. You know, when I look over this, around in this church, I see many of you with a receptive heart. Because really, you're the good soil. The Word of Jesus Christ was planted in your heart the very day you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. And you have grown over the years. And although it wasn't easy. I mean, there were many times, difficult times, when you almost felt like quitting. And you walk away from Christ. And maybe like the prodigal, you did for a while. And it was a rocky and thorny path. But the love of God, the Father and His Son Jesus, you know, had for you just kept that seed in your heart alive and germinating until it sprouted once again. And now after all these years, you see the fruit of God's Spirit is quite evident in your life. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, you know, lists the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, let's just say them with me, will you please? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the fruit just began to blossom. The fruit began to grow in your life. It began to grow. And your fruit is evident by how you serve Christ in this church. And we can see it, you know, in the fruit of the people, you know, in whom you planted the seed of God's Word. And now they're living for Jesus. They're growing in their faith. We can see it. But notice, I want you to notice something in this passage, however. Because in this passage, Jesus said that although the seed and the good soil bore fruit, Jesus said the good soil produced fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it interesting that the same good soil and the same seed, the Word of God, can produce a different yield. Kind of excited. I'm really excited about that as well. Because you see, the Word of God is very practical. And God knows that not every Christian is the same. I mean, some Christians grow at a slower rate than others. There are different strengths, different gifts, different understanding of God's Word. But in all of it, God is patient. And He is happy with the yield of fruit that is produced, whether it is 30 or 100, God is happy because fruit is being produced in your life. It's being produced. So how do we do it then? How do we grow? How do we produce more fruit? Well, Jesus tells us in another gospel. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, if you will, please. John chapter 15. I want you to listen to Jesus as He talks about the vine and the branches. In John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, Jesus said this. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." So if you're not bearing fruit, God removes it. "And while every branch that does bear fruit, well, God also prunes it so that it will bear even more fruit." That God, you know, through discipline and chastisement and encouragement. Verse 3, "You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus said, if you want to bear fruit, you've got to stay with me. You've got to remain in me. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me," Jesus says, "you can do nothing. And if anyone does not remain in me, well, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it's going to be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Did you get that last sentence? Jesus said, the way that we show that we are His disciples is that we are bearing fruit. That we're growing in our relationship with God. That we're sharing the gospel with others. And if we remain in Christ, we will then bear more fruit. So let me ask you, which soil are you? We talked about the four soils today. And I think that these soils, you know, we see these every day in our lives. You know, we see, you know, every day those who represent the hard path. I mean, there are those people out there, maybe people you work with. It could be somebody in your own family that you just share your heart out and you want them to give their life to Jesus and you talk about Christ and you share with them Jesus and you pray for them. And at this point, they still haven't yet accepted Christ in their life. Don't give up. There are those within our churches who are like that rocky soil. They're just kind of shallow. You know, their relationship with God is shallow. Their understanding of God's Word is shallow. It's It's because they really haven't really gotten into God's Word. They really haven't realized that, hey, okay, so I obeyed God's Word, but you know, we've got to grow in God's Word as well. So God wants us to remove those rocks, whatever those rocks are. He wants us to remove them. And then, of course, we have those. So many of us are like those who are the thorny soil. I mean, we allow so many things in this life just to choke God's Word out of us. We allow so many worries and so many, you know, things that compete with God and compete with the church and compete with His Word, you know, just to lessen our relationship with Him. And even sometimes even supplant our relationship with Him. But then we have those who are truly the good soil. I mean, they're growing. It doesn't mean they're perfect by any means. In fact, probably most of us, we probably range in that 30, 60, you know, yield. You know, that's kind of where we are. I don't want to stay there. I mean, I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to become more what God wants me to be. But the main thing is that the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that He wants everybody represented in those four soils. He wants them to have a chance to listen to and obey the Word of God. So that's where we come in. You know, our mission tells us that we are to connect with God. The way we say we connect with God is that we want you to come to worship. We want you to be here. We have so many people, you know, as we look at, you know, empty chairs, we've had so many people, you know, who just get caught up in the world and caught up in so many things. The rocky soil, the thorny soil, and they just out there in the world. It's not that they're going anywhere else, they just go nowhere. But we've got to connect with God in our life. And I think worship is a way that we do that we truly connect with the Father. Our worship should just take us to the throne room of God. But then we also got to grow. You can't, that's not the only thing, you've got to grow. You've got to grow in Christ. And that's why we encourage people to join a Bible study group. We want you involved in God's Word. And the truth is, most of us are not studying God's Word at home. We don't even open it. And the only time that we get is when we come to worship. And so but here in our worship, yeah, we're getting it, but we've got to get it more, friends. We've got to delve into God's Word. We've got to study it for ourselves. And if you're not studying for yourselves, get involved in a small group somewhere. Get involved in a Bible study somewhere. Get involved. And then we've got to serve one another. To truly serve one another. To help in a ministry. I mean, we're always asking, if you look at our bulletin even today, you will see, we need help in this ministry. There's always an opening, always a way where you can serve. This is all part of growing, but we don't stop there either. We want to reach out to the lost. We want to share our faith. And one good way to do that is to invite people. Tonight we're going to have our night of worship with, you know, Andrew Hamilton's going to be in our GCC praise band, and they're going to be here for our night of worship. And this is a great opportunity to invite people just to come. It's a very relaxing setting just to come and be part of our night of worship. Invite them to dinner. You know, invite them to dinner at 5 o'clock. Stay for worship and praise to God. But it's a way that we connect. It's a way that we grow. And that's what we hope and pray. I don't think God is through with His church yet. I don't. God's not done with us. He's not done with us. And we've got to, as ourselves, I think sometimes we have a defeatist attitude and think, God's just done. Look at us. He's done. But God is not done with His church. And we need to realize that the power is not in us, but the power is in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where the power is. It's not in us. Again, Paul said, I'm just a seed planter. Apollos did the cultivating. He watered. But it is God who makes it grow. The power is in God. The power is in God. God just asked us to be a seed planter. That's what we need to be. If you're here today and you have yet given your life to Jesus Christ, we pray today that you will do that. I want you to know God loves you so much. I mean, He sent His only Son to the cross for you. For you. And He wants you to give your life to Him. And if you're here today and haven't yet done that, will you please do so today? We're going to have one of our elders up front. I'd like to have one of our ladies up front. I think Millie will be up front.